Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, for quarter number three, we are going to take one more look back at the 2021 season. And we're looking to give out your individual awards on the season, offense, defense. But I'm not going to let you get away with just the good stuff, okay? I'm going to throw out the other side, too. I'm going to look for some disappointments also. So you can't get away with just, oh, here's the sweet stuff. Here's the best players. Everything's good. Not after a 7-6 season, all right? So you're forewarned. But with that said, we're going to start with the positive. Let's talk about your player of the year. Let's do both an offense and defense one. Let's start with the offense, but I'll give you a moment to think about it because I know this is a tough question for you.
Yeah, the list, I have to sort through the list from one to one, sorting through, you know, through various criteria. And I think I'm coming up with my best guess of Jahan freaking Dotson. The striking thing, by the way, is okay, after Jahan Dotson, who would your pick be? And I really feel like it's another wide receiver. You know, I wouldn't go Sean Clifford in that spot. I wouldn't go with any offensive linemen. I think you know how I feel about the performance of the running backs, too. The tight ends weren't used all that much. So Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington, to me, the one and two best players in this offense last year. Jahan Dotson obviously running away from the field. Just the, you know, and I think the encouraging thing with him was the way that they forced him the ball. You know, this is our number one wide receiver. This is our guy. This is a player who has to touch it 7, 8, 10 times per game. We have to insist that that happens. And they went out and did it. You know, short stuff, medium stuff, long stuff. And he was able to kind of take a wide variety of touches and do damage with them. So I was encouraged, you know, A, by Jahan Dotson's performance, and we saw it in 2020, saw all the makings there for an even bigger year in 2021, and he went out there and delivered, even though pretty much the rest of the entire offense was hard to rely on a consistent basis. He was the only reliable piece of this offense. I do not think I'm exaggerating about that. So you talk about player of the year, it is by an absolute landslide. And, you know, I think Parker Washington to me is number two. Who's number three? I guess Sean Clifford, but I don't really know. I mean, it gets pretty murky after that.
You know what? I was going to say, Dustin, you know I'm Parker Washington's biggest fan, okay? You know that, right?
I do.
So he is such a distant second to Jahan Dotson. And as big as that gap is, the gap from Parker Washington to number three is even larger. I can't even name, you know, you mentioned Sean Clifford, maybe because of his performance the first few games, but
yeah,
he did enough bad things on the back half of the season that I can't put him up. That's it. We're done. That's it for the good stuff for the offense.
Yeah.
Jahan Dotson, Parker Washington. That's it as far as compliments. Even though, well, we will hit it again soon, but we'll get to that in a second. Let's get our defensive player of the year. Now it gets interesting because there's at least a couple players you could consider.
And you could sway me in a bunch of different directions, but Arnold Ebiketie, for him to come in and do what he did and be such a force, not just, you know, one game at a time. Like, no disrespect to Shaka Toney, but there were, you know, 3 and 4 sack halves that really boosted his pass rush performance during his career here. That wasn't really how Arnold Ebiketie went about his business. This guy had such incredible effort on every single play, and he had the power, the speed. You know, think about a guy like that with his size. 62 tackles, Jim. You know, he had more tackles than Curtis Jacobs did. You know, think about that. Like how active and involved he was in all facets of the game. 18 tackles for loss, 9.5 sacks. Penn State didn't have anybody else like him putting pressure on the quarterback. 7 quarterback hits in addition to that. 2 forced fumbles. I mean, he made an impact at some point in time pretty much in every single game. And, you know, to think about his value just on the surface there, great. But his value in terms of being a one-year rental is even more extraordinary. For him to step in and, I think, be the best player on a defense that had a lot of really, really good players, I'm still blown away by that. And I'm so anxious to see how he goes through the testing and the combine process to see how that translates into attention from NFL teams. Mel Kiper Jr. has him as a first round pick. That would be, what a story for him to go from Temple, you know, going through an abbreviated 2020 season, having a monster year at Penn State, and then being first, maybe a second round draft pick. Pretty extraordinary.
I really like that choice. However, I disagree with that. I think Jahkon Brisker was the guy. I think he was the leader. I think he made the big plays. I think at his safety position, he came up to make plays against the running game. He was back there. He made game-changing plays in the secondary. Again, Ibukete, not a bad choice at all, but I just – could we do 1 and 1A, Dusty?
That's pretty much how I viewed them. Yeah, they brought different things. I mean, Jahkon Brisker, the wide variety of plays that he made. In the passing game, 6 tackles for loss for him. Broke up 5 passes, looked like played like a cornerback back there in pass coverage. When you asked him to make a play behind the line of scrimmage, when you asked him to make a play at run support, dropping back to pass with his instincts, all in addition to the fact that he was without question just the tone setter and the emotional leader of that defense. You know, the battery that made the whole thing work, the captain back there. So, you know, I think when it comes to, intangible impact, Brisker made a bigger difference on that front than Ibukete, but these two together, I mean, what a tandem for them. And, you know, and like I said, a lot of really good players on this defense. There's going to be guys, you know, when it's all said and done, I don't know, like 8, 9, 10 starters from this defense could end up being drafted at some point in their careers.
Oh yeah. Okay. We still got a lot to go through, but I do want to ask you, if you had to go for a third choice on defense, who would it be?
But that's a tough one. I think Ellis Brooks makes a claim, but I think similarly for Jahkon Brisker, I like Jesse Luketta. The versatility, the intensity, the instincts, the fact that he was playing multiple positions, he lended support to 2 position groups. I thought Penn State needed that.
All right, let's go. Pleasant surprise offense and pleasant surprise defense. Who do you got?
On offense, I think Keandre Lambert-Smith, in 2020, he was the number 3 wide receiver by default because he had to be because they didn't have anybody else. This year, I was pleasantly surprised by the fact that he was a legitimate number 3 wide receiver. He produced like one. He made some big plays. He was pretty reliable. You know, you saw some drops here or there, but 34 catches for 521 yards and 3 touchdowns. You know, I don't think you could have asked for a whole lot more out of your number 3 when you didn't know for sure that he could be a number 3.
And how about on defense?
On defense, I think Arnold Ibukete is high on that list too. But since we gave his name already, I'm going to say Jair Brown. You thought and hoped that what you saw in 2020 was a small sample for what could be a big breakout in 2021, just like Jahkon Brisker did in 2019 going into 2020. But Jair Brown, to go out there and do that and to be such a good complement to Jahkon Brisker, 6 interceptions, 5 pass breakups. He was just a ranging playmaker who I expect to get a lot better now that he's coming back, which is huge news for 2022.
I like Jair Brown there also. He would have been my number 3 in the player year on defense. I'll also throw out Daquan Hardy, who I think I had a heck of a season. How about your rookie of the year? And this is overall on the team.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't a whole lot to choose from. I started looking at this offense, defense, and I was like, there's nobody on offense that I want to give that recognition to. So to me, Kalen King, the way that he played down the stretch, especially, kind of validated all the excitement the coaching staff had for him. You also saw Jalen Reed, I think, play a nice role. You saw, obviously, the transfers. If you're talking about newcomers, Derek Tangelo and Arnold Ebiketie are kind of no-brainers there. So, yeah, good group. Johnny Dixon, you know, did some nice things here and there. But when it comes to freshmen, Kalen King looks like the next man up, the next starter, the guy who's going to kind of take the reins and have a monster, I think, 2022 year.
All right. Now we need your biggest disappointment on each side of the ball.
Boy, I think, you know, to pick a unit, let's say offensive line, because I had high hopes. Right. I mean, I can drill down on individuals if we want. But I think a lot of players on offense are a little more deserving for this than you would hope. But that offensive line group, you know, when you go into it with two what look like sure things at tackle, when you had an experienced center, I felt good about Eric Wilson coming in from the Ivy League to start. I felt good about Juice Scruggs jumping into a starting role because we saw good things from him. For the sum of all those individual parts to be such a low value was, I think, as discouraging as you can possibly get. Individuals from that group, you know, I expected more from Caden Wallace for sure. I'm not sure if tackle is his future position or not. I guess we'll kind of wait and find out on that one. The running backs, I could go all day about them. Tushon Clifford, I think, when things unraveled for him after the Iowa game, you know, when he reverted back, when he played the way he did in the Outback Bowl, that was super disappointing. So I think, you know, a lot of different mouths to feed for that award, Jim. On defense disappointment, I mean, how about the way that Joey Porter Jr. finished the season? Not his season as a whole, because the first, whatever, six games or whatever it was, he looked every bit as good as we thought he was going to be. And then he got into this sort of over-aggressive, grabby, reaching. You know, he's too good to be doing that stuff. And I just hope that it can be cleaned up and fixed for next year, and he can kind of make good on all that potential, because I think he's a star waiting. And I thought it looked like his final ascent was happening this year, and it was slowed down by some kind of grabby penalties.
Real quickly, mine on offense for an individual, I'll go Rashid Walker. For a unit, I'll just go all the running backs. On defense, I'll throw Brandon Smith out there because I had such high expectations for him. Interestingly enough, both of my guys, Rashid Walker and Brandon Smith, will probably be drafted fairly high. But that, to me, is just an example of the expectations we had for him. And my final question, Dustin, give me the positional coaching star and the coaching disappointment.
The coaching star. Coaching disappointment, for the same reason, expectations for Mike Yurcich, and then the creativity you saw the first handful of weeks. Eventually, you know, not having a reliable offensive line, not having a quarterback who's making plays, not having running backs making plays, that's going to do anybody in. Coaching star, how about Poindexter coaching those safeties? I mean, for Jair Brown and Jaquan Brisker to have the years that they had, got to give him a lot of credit for that one.
I'm going to go with, I like Poindexter on the defense. How about Stubblefield on an offense that was awful? The wide receivers were the highlight. And the disappointment, I'll go with Phil Troutwine in the offensive line. Dusty, that is it for quarter number three. Stick around. We're going to take a real in-depth look at Manny Diaz, the new defensive coordinator. Stay tuned for that.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.